Well, happy anniversary, everyone. I was just thinking back when we started. Remember, we met in this hotel, Homewood Suite, right, off of 95. And I remember, you know, just we didn't have an office or a building, and just moving, and worship team, you know, with babies, moving, you know, equipment and setting up and stuff. I remember one of the first meeting I had with Sean and Tay, you know. It was a rest area in the New Jersey Turnpike, you know, because we lived an hour away. And so let's meet, you know, somewhere in between and just talking and praying about the church, about Catalyst. And I'm very thankful for Catalyst, and that means I'm very thankful for each one of you because you are the church. And during Overflow, this is the conviction I had for the church for this anniversary. What the Word of God said about Esther in this, when she was living in a tumultuous time, where God's people didn't have a future. They were all going to be destroyed. And her uncle came to her, and this is the word for Catalyst. You know, this is the moment for which you've been created, Esther. And I say this to my brothers and sisters here at Catalyst. In such a time as this, you were created for this time. Okay? It's not an accident. It's not an accident. You were created for this time to be a light in the darkness. God's going to use us to heal, to set the captive free, to open the prison door. God's going to use us to be a witness with the power of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen? And so if you could pray, okay, as a church, use this church, God. Use us to be a light. You were not an accident. But together, you know, in this tumultuous time, we were created for such a time as this. Yes, God. Yes, God. In Jesus' name we pray. So just look around, just say happy anniversary to one another. 11th year. I know we have, I guess the menu is Korean food and Subway, was it? Subway, okay. Yeah, I know that, we have some non-Koreans here. And that's why I think we have Subway. But the reason we got the Korean food was cheaper. It's not this ethnic thing or anything. It was just a little cheaper. Anyway, I'm being too honest. Well, life in Christ. We're doing the life in Christ. And today is the theme of healing. And that's something that's very important to this church. And the main text for this series is John chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And we are Christians. And so, you know, the Heavenly Father loves us and wants a relationship with us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and redeemed us, right? And the Holy Spirit power lives in us. But the question that I have in this series is, then how come life is such a struggle? Okay? Then how come life is such a struggle? Jesus came that we may have a full life. But that promise is not what we think humanly. It's not a comfortable life. That's not what he promised. Okay? A life without suffering. That's not what he promised. Or a life without any struggle. Jesus promised a life in Christ, a full life in the midst of struggles. Okay? A life of purpose in a sinful world. A life where God works and moves in you in the midst of spiritual battle. A life where God loves you in your weakness. A life where God meets with you in your loneliness. A life where God heals you in your brokenness. You know, part one was life in Christ flows through connection, you know, flows through an intimate relationship with God. Part two was life in Christ flows through truth, flows through living the Word of God. And today, life in Christ flows through healing. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Psalm 147, verse 3. And this is the text for today. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. And God's people said. Today, I want to focus on emotional wound. Okay, emotional wound. In a broken world with broken people, no one has a monopoly on pain and hurt. No one. We all experience some degree of rejection, betrayal, neglect, abandonment, and abuse. And one of the important teaching about emotional wound is this. Hurt feelings and emotional pain, okay, are not sin. It's not sin. It is part of being a human being in a broken world. Huh? So why do I say hurt feeling and emotional pain is not sin? Because Jesus, who was sinless, felt hurt, felt pain. Jesus was rejected. He was betrayed. He was misunderstood. He was maligned. He was criticized. He was abandoned. He was abused. So when you look at the gospel, Jesus felt, Jesus had emotion. Jesus felt compassion. He got angry, holy anger. The Bible talks about him becoming indignant. He was troubled. He was greatly distressed, very sorrowful. He got depressed. He was deeply moved. He grieved. He wept. He groaned. He was in agony. He was surprised and amazed. He was full of joy. He had great desires. He greatly desired and he greatly loved. So emotional wound, though, we don't know how to deal with emotional wound. We know how to deal with physical wounding. For example, I shared this before. If there was a splinter, you're going through physical pain, and there's a splinter in your arm, and then what happens? You will feel physical pain. Right? And for physical pain, for most people, the response is to, you know, it's naturally, you will know, the response is to seek healing. Right? You'll take the splinter out. If it's really bad, you'll go see a doctor. You'll clean the wound. You'll put on ointment on it. You will bandage. If it's really bad, you'll get stitches. Right? With physical pain, people understand that they need healing. But people don't do that a lot of time with emotional pain, you know, emotional wounding. People don't seek healing. Instead, we make it worse. Okay, you know, we become bitter. Emotional wound is like a splinter in your heart, in your soul. It's a splinter in your soul. And with emotional healing, they don't seek healing. They don't take the splinter out. They don't clean the wound. A lot of times they let it get infected. And then the pain becomes unbearable. So what's the solution? You know, it's not logical. They push the splinter deeper in, meaning they suppress it, they hide it. And when it gets deeper, what happens is it starts to infect your thoughts, your emotion, your life, other relationship. Instead of seeking healing, what a lot of people do, and it gets so unbearable, the pain, and you suppress it more, and it affects your thoughts and emotion with other relationships. And what people do with emotional wound is there's a splinter in their heart. Instead of taking it out and seeking healing, cleaning it, they get another splinter. And they think the solution is, you know, sticking other people with that splinter. Hurt people, hurt people. For physical pain, we seek help. We see a doctor, medication, even take supplements, maybe right diet. You know, get rest. For physical pain, we seek healing and restoration. But for emotional pain, people don't seek healing and restoration. We suppress it, we hide it, we judge, we resent, we get bitter, and it brings more brokenness and darkness into our life. I want to go through some stuff. Again, this is not something that I got from books or anything. I'm going to be honest, which is what I go through. It's from personal experience. Huh? And if we don't seek healing and restoration, what's going to happen? Well, if you don't seek healing and restoration, number one, you will not be able to, oh, wow, all of them at once. I wanted to surprise you with each one, but that's okay. I thought I put animation up there, but anyway. If you don't seek healing and restoration, number one, you will not be able to overcome spiritual battle. Okay, there will be more bondage and stronghold in your life. The demonic use brokenness to attack you more and more. That brokenness is initially like a door that's open to your heart. Almost an invitation for the demonic to come. And then you start to believe in more and more lies. The demonic starts taking over more and more spiritual territory in your heart, ruining your relationships, stealing your emotion, stealing your thoughts, stealing your future and purpose. Right. Number two, there will be a continual pattern of dysfunction. There will be a continual pattern of dysfunction. And if you don't see healing and restoration, what happens? The same issues and dysfunction will come up again and again and again. Same conflict over and over and over again. It's kind of weird. Even though it's different people, it will be the same conflict over and over and over again. You will get hurt over and over again with with the same pattern of rejection and the emotional wound. And you see it happen. And this is the devil's plan, so that it will go from generation to generation to generation until it becomes a not just your own brokenness, but becomes a generational brokenness. Not that it's just your own personal dysfunction, but it becomes a generational dysfunction. Not that it just becomes your own personal sin, but that the devil's plan is that it becomes a generational sin that will continue. Number three, God's blessing is hidden. Yeah, God's blessing is hidden. You can't see, you know, when there's so much pain and then when there's so much pain and wounding, what happens is that we sin if we don't seek healing, okay? What do I mean by sin? We get bitter. We have unforgiving heart, okay? There's ungodly anger in our life. We become violent. There's sin that develop, and because of that sin, we can't see what God is doing. We can't hear his voice. You can't receive his blessing. Right? Unforgiving heart, bitterness, resentment. You know what? It's like a spiritual umbrella from heaven to you. There's an umbrella. So when God wants to bless you, he is blessed. But it doesn't touch you. Okay? He can't touch you. Pharisee was so bitter toward Jesus that when they saw Jesus face to face, that they could not see that he was the Son of God. They could not see that. Number four, hurt people. You know, if you don't seek healing and restoration, you will hurt the people that's around you. You know, because when you don't seek healing and restoration, there's will eventually become sin. There's uncontrollable anger. You get easily frustrated. You start to lose trust in others. You start saying things like, there's no such thing as love. People who says this, you know, I don't have to go to church. God called me to worship in my room all by myself. Just me and God, God and me. I don't need people. When I hear people say that, they're not being spiritual. What I see is a person who got hurt by people in the church, a person who has been rejected. When others around you, people who are close around you, they come and tell you this, I feel like there's a wall in your heart. You won't let me through. I feel like I don't know you. You know, I feel it's very difficult to get to know you. When others are saying that around you, it's because you're carrying a lot of pain. Right? There's emotional wounding. That's the reason. You're protecting yourself. You say, I'm not going to let others hurt me anymore. Where there's no healing and restoration, we take it out on the person that's closest to us, you know. It destroys healthy relationship and close relationship. The bitterness and judgment spreads to people who are innocent around you. Bitterness and judgment spreads to people, even to people who are trying to help you. I see this all the time. Yeah, they get really mad when you try to help them. In marriage, you know, most of us, as childhood was painful, you know. There was rejection, abuse, and shame. And, you know, and when you get married, it's going to come out to one another. And you're going to project, when you get you're going to project that abuse, that pain, the anger, the rejection to your spouse. And when you have a child, when you have children, you will project that inner negative feeling and guilt to your child, to your children. We'll project to our kids, you know, a lot of times by overcompensating through control. We'll project taking it out on our kids for little things that they do wrong. Was it because what they did, or is it because of our own childhood brokenness? Or our own emotional wounds. You know, if you got hurt by an authority figure, you know, anytime you see an authority figure, if you didn't get healed, if you're not walking out the healing and restoration, anytime you see an authority figure, you'll get scared of them. You will judge them and say, they're uncaring. They don't listen. They're controlling. You can't trust them. Where is that coming from? Where is that coming from? You need to, you know, again, a lot of time is coming from our past emotional wounds. Number five, if you don't seek healing and restoration, it will affect you physically. Okay, there will be more stress in your life, more anxiety. You know, there will be high blood pressure. You won't be able to sleep. And eventually your immune system goes down and it will break down your physical body. A lot of time, you could see in people, those who's been carrying their brokenness and emotional wound for many, many years, you could see that brokenness in their face, physically. You could see it. You could see that bitterness. You could see that fear. You could see that anger physically. And, you know, in our church, you know, it's an important part of our church, the healing. And so we've seen like many people walk out that healing and restoration. And sometimes we see it immediately, you know, as we minister. You know, you could see just the brokenness in their face, and they forgive, and the Holy Spirit started ministering to them, and right away, wow, there was a physical transformation you see in their face. Number six, judgment grows if you don't seek healing and restoration. Matthew 7 talks about this, the wrong judgment, okay? It's a log in the eye, meaning it grows, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. This judgment keeps growing. Where there's no healing and restoration, this log gets bigger and bigger. So if you got hurt by your biological father, years later you go, all men are evil. If you got hurt by your mother, biological mother, you say, I hate all women. If you got hurt by a pastor, you'll say, all church leaders can't be trusted. It grows. The judgment continues to grow. And number seven, I end with this. Again, this is something that I personally experienced. I had to work through. I'm still working through. Number seven, you resemble what you resent. You resemble what you resent. If you have resentment toward your mom, okay, and I'm going to scare you, you're going to become like your mom. If you have resentment toward your dad, you're going to become like your dad. If you have a resentment toward an authority figure, you're going to become like that leader. When bitter, you go toward those who you are bitter toward and become like them. Okay? And so I want to give you the solution. I'm not going to just leave you here hanging. And so I'm going to go to steps toward healing and restoration. Steps toward healing and restoration. Healing prayer. Okay, so, say I'm going to pray. Okay, you know, over this 30 years or 40 years, you know, I went through many healing retreats, many healing sessions. I had many one-on-one healing sessions. I come from a pretty broken background. I had many one-on-one healing sessions, healing training, healing conferences I went to. And I'm very thankful for them. It has helped me. It has brought healing into my life. It has blessed me. But we need to be careful that you don't fall into this thinking. You get a few sessions of counseling, you go to renewal and stuff like that, and you go to an inner healing retreat, and you say, I am healed. Okay? I am healed. You know, I won't struggle with my childhood brokenness anymore. No more shame, no more condemnation, no more fear. But I want to be really honest with you, okay? For most of us, including myself, life will hit you again and again and again. You're not going to be strong all the time. From time to time, you will go through weakness. You will regress. You will relapse. You and I live in a broken world. People will hurt you. They will reject you. Demons won't leave you alone. Demons are fighting harder to get you back to the old bondage, old brokenness, and your old life. And when life hits you, when you are being spiritually attacked, when there's no one to talk with, there's no healing retreat, there's no one who understands, you have to pray. In the midst of the old lies and spiritual battle, negative emotion, harassing thoughts, stress, in the midst of your weakness, old issues being stirred, in the midst of judgmental and critical thoughts, you have to pray. And when you pray, the demonic starts losing its power. The Holy Spirit starts to minister to you. The Bible says about prayer in Philippians 4, there is a peace that transcends all understanding, a peace that will guard your heart and mind. And when you start to pray, when life hits you, doesn't matter if you went to 100 healing retreat, if you don't do this, you're going to have to go 100 more. When life hits you, and when you pray, there's a spiritual power that's released. You start to move in faith. You start to move in your identity in Christ. Yes, in our church, we value this inner healing, soul care ministry. We value it. But again, the Bible says, pray always. And that's a responsibility, our own spiritual responsibility. Right? Number two, don't judge. Okay, don't judge. I mean, when you are walking out your healing and restoration, the Bible, this kind of judgment is, when he says don't judge, it's not talking about when you're walking out your healing and restoration, because as your pastor, man, I have to confront a lot of you all the time, because there's things in your life that's hurting you. There's things in your life that's bondage. There's things in your life that's sin. There's things that you're doing in relationship that's hurting relationship. And you know what? I have to judge that. Okay? I'm not going to judge, you know. No, that's fear of people. Yeah, yeah. No. I have to talk those things out with you. And in that kind of setting, you have to judge. Right? It's the good judgment. But when you are broken, if you're bitter, you're critical, you're insecure, you're always angry, and you're not walking out the healing and restoration, Matthew 7:1 is talking about in this situation, don't judge. Don't judge. Don't judge the people around you. Don't judge the people in the church. Don't even judge the people or the person who has hurt you. Matthew 7, instead, Jesus says the log in the eye, shouldn't judge. First, Jesus' recommendation is first take the log out of your eyes, that thing that's hurting you. Okay? Then you can see clearly. So, If there's this emotional wound, go to the Holy Spirit and ask him, because a lot of you need that Holy Spirit discernment. And I see the brokenness, I see the pain, I see the anger that comes from your past, from family or at home, your mom or your dad. And the judgment comes out, and it's not helping the church. It's hurting. But if that's what's going on, and you're with the Holy Spirit, discern, and he tells you, no, take some time. You take some time. Okay? Don't worry. The church is not going to fall apart because we didn't deal with this or this or that. Or this person is doing this and that again. Take your time and fight not to judge. Instead, fight to be healed and restored. Yeah, I don't hear any amen. Love you. I love you. Number three, let God judge. Okay, let God judge. Okay, Romans 12 verse 19 says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends." And this is again, it's related with emotional wounding. Okay, emotional wounding. It's not about caring about the holiness of the church. It's about an emotional wound. Do not take revenge, my friends. But leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. If you are in pain, emotional pain, don't waste your energy on vengeance. Okay? Let it go. Trust God. Let the Lord judge the person who hurt you. Why? Because God is the perfect judge. He's the I'm imperfect. Okay? You are imperfect, but God is the perfect judge. Spend your time and energy getting healed. Amen? And number four, continue to forgive. Continue to forgive. And what forgiveness is, all this one, two, three, four, okay? Continue to forgive. See, God never doesn't ask you to do something that he didn't do. What did God do for you and me? God continuously, consistently, and completely forgives me. Wow. Right? God continuously, consistently, and completely forgives me. Not just for my past sin, but today's sin and tomorrow's sin. So Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me, who has hurt me, who caused me emotional wound, who rejected me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times seven. Right? What did he mean by 77 times seven? Continuously forgive. Consistently forgive. Completely forgive. As I forgave you. This is what forgiveness is. You forgive those who hurt you. Our God is the model of forgiveness. And God's people said, okay, let's pray.